trust him in his presence daily. Different words. May I know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my
thank you for helping me with that. You know, we sing these hymns Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesdays. But do we just sing them because they're just words, or do we sing them from our heart? Do we mean them? Do we really give ourselves totally to him so that God can use us however and whenever, with whoever he so chooses? In the book of Mark, we get a picture, and I'm going to go there in just a minute, but we get a picture of the surrender of Jesus, totally surrendered to what the Father desired, not what he desired. Not his thoughts, not his plans, but the Father's plans. And in the same chapter that we're going to go to, we can actually see the opposed side in Judas, who did what he thought and what he desired, what he wanted. And we get a contrast of the two sides. So we're going to turn to Mark 14, and we're going to read a bit. Verses 3 through 11. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. There were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? It might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you can do good for them. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Wow. Few verses, but in those verses, we can see the contrast of Jesus being given to the Father's plan. He knew where he was going. He knew what was going to be happening to him. And yet he was still willing and surrendered. And Judas, on the other hand, we can also see where he was at. And his desire was driven by the lust of money and greed. He wanted what he wanted for himself, first and foremost, to the point where he was willing to betray the Son of God. He knew who Jesus was. He had seen the miracles. And whatever, you know, I've seen different movies that have portrayed him as, oh, he was duped. No, he was driven by the lust of his own desires. And that is what drove him to betray Jesus. Jesus driven by a desire to please the Father. Judas driven by a desire to please himself. John 13, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God." You know, these verses here tell me exactly who Jesus was, and that he would go back to the Father once he had accomplished all that Father had sent him to do. We also read in these verses where it says, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." And I had a reference in my center reference, and so I looked it up. And it's in chapter 15 of John, and it's verse 9, and it says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." So to truly understand this, the abide, I went to the Webster's Dictionary first. And this is what it stated for abide: to bear patiently, tolerate, withstand, and await. Well, the Bible Dictionary has a bit of a contrast to that. And it says, the word abide means to await, to remain, to lodge, sojourn, continue, endure, to dwell, be present, to be held, and be kept. True surrender is to abide in him. Jesus loved us so much, and he wanted them, the disciples, to be held, those that had believed in him. He wanted them to be held and kept, and he wants us to be held and kept as well. He wants to keep us in the protection of his shelter. But in order for us to be kept in the protection of his shelter, we need to surrender. We need to abide in him. Otherwise, what are we doing? We're pulling ourselves out from underneath the shelter of his protection, which leaves us as sitting ducks. Quack, quack. No, thank you. I'll stay here. Hallelujah. So we've heard it many times here that love is an action. I would say that surrender is our love in action towards Jesus. I'll say it one more time. Surrender is our love for Jesus in action. Hallelujah. So if we're giving him our ways and our thoughts and allowing him to come and do his ways and his thoughts instead of our own, that's surrender. That's abiding in him. Last Sunday, our pastor told us that we should try to establish time with the Lord every day. First thing, if we can. First 10 minutes even of our day, take it for Jesus. Maybe he doesn't even remember preaching that, but I caught it. Even if it's 10 minutes before we go out the door, giving Jesus the prime time of our day. And the reason that it's a prime time in our day is because it's before all the chaos and the hectic of the day goes on. You know, lots of people decide to give Jesus the last 10 minutes of the day after all the chaos. And you can't shut, well, I know for ladies anyway, we have a hard time shutting this thing down. It's so much better first thing in the morning when your brain is fresh and it's quiet in the house and there's no one around and you haven't gone through craziness all day. Your focus is so much better on Jesus, giving him the best of you.